booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday. A wet one it is. TGIF. Welcome to the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, Frankie. So I am doing the show from home today because of the crazy weather, and we're going to get to that in a second. But I'm so upset that I didn't come in because I find Noel Ashman to be a fascinating person. And it was a great interview.
Well, that's so nice of you, Juliet. Thank
you.
Do you know Noel? Are you one of the many
people that know Noel? I don't know. Because I wasn't really a lounge type of person. I used to hang out in Hoboken. I was more of the jeans and t-shirt kind of gal. But I just think he's fascinating. I remember reading about him. And he's just achieved so many interesting things. And Randall Emmett is the guy, if you don't know, his friend. Randall Emmett is the guy who is now with Lala from Vanderpump Rules. It's just the whole crazy story.
You know, you're speaking a different language to me. But
Well, Sid would understand this.
I bet he would. Now, if people don't know what Juliet's talking about, I did have the privilege of reconnecting with my old friend Noel Ashman last hour. They can listen to the podcast at WABCRadio.com, but he's going to come back next week, and we'll get the two of you in studio together. We'll have some fun.
Good. I can't wait. So real quick, I just want to get to what's happening weather-wise, because I know that you've been talking about going down to Atlantic City. I was like, I don't know if I should be driving in today. Here is the deal. We do have a tropical weather statement from the Weather Service, and it is going to last until 7:45 a.m. This is what we're looking at this point. Elsa is expected to impact this area right now and into the morning. Right now we have a watch and warning, a tropical storm warning in effect for northeast Suffolk, northern New London, northwest Suffolk, southeast Suffolk. So it's basically all of where I live. Southern Middlesex, Southern Nassau, Southern New Haven, Southern New London, and Southwest Suffolk. So Suffolk is in the line of fire right now. So, guys, if you're out here, please be very, very careful. The situation is that the storm Elsa is going to be tracking to the northeast through the rest of tonight and probably off the coast of New Jersey and eastern Long Island throughout the morning. So New Jersey coast and eastern Long Island, prepare yourselves for the next few hours because it's going to be pretty ugly, I have a feeling. We're looking at heavy rain being the major threat, which could produce flash flooding. This is, again, something not to sneeze at. There are tropical storm winds right now. They're not as strong as they could be, but they're still strong enough to, you know, mess up your shed or throw around things that are not secured in your yard, maybe tree branches that aren't secure. So just keep an eye on this, and we're going to be getting about 2 to 4 inches of rainfall into about Friday, this morning, a little bit later on. So it's just going to be very, very messy outside. Be careful driving. I have a feeling, Frank, if you stick around for a while, stick around the station, you're going to be okay.
Well, so I'll tell you what. Yesterday, Sid Rosenberg and I made tentative plans to have breakfast after the Bernie and Sid show at 10. And so I was thinking yesterday, well, do I really want to stick around another 2 hours after the meeting? And I'm kind of thinking that might be the best thing to do, to wait around and until the storm clears, get the Sid Rosenberg breakfast in at 10.
Now, is he going to pay for it?
No, I'm going to pay.
Let me tell you, I'm going to be looking. I'm telling you, this is the hourly weather for New York City, okay? So by 5 o'clock, so right now, just 100% rain. The rain starts to diminish as the morning goes on. I think that you're going to be okay. It actually starts to really diminish by about 7 a.m. It's only about, 8 a.m., about 67% chance of rain. Goes down to 40% by 9 o'clock. And by 10 o'clock, there's going to be nothing. Just going to be clouds.
Oh, so that should be the plan for me then.
Hang around till 10.
Yeah. Do the Sid Rosenberg breakfast and then go home.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, there will be scattered thunderstorms in the city starting at about 5 o'clock, but they're not going to be going on all night. It's probably 5 to about 10 o'clock at night. And by 11 o'clock, things should clear up a bit.
All right. Well, now that you've got the weather, let us hear how that is affecting your morning commute. And we have traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the 7s with Susie Cerrone. Happy Friday, Susie.
Good morning. What a mess out there. Stay off the roads if you can, but we do have alternate side in effect. Luckily, things are pretty light at the Hudson River crossings. We've got the west side northbound shut down from the 150s up to the George All with an overturned vehicle. BQE northbound and McGinnis Humboldt Street, a jackknife tractor trailer, just one lane gets by. Going to New Jersey, we've got an accident on the Parkway South and at 172 in the left lane, Westchester. The Hutch northbound is shut down from Post Road and Pelham to Lincoln Avenue with flooding. We also have the Bronx River still closed in both directions from the Sprain up to the County Center, again, all due to flooding. And traffic is sponsored by Indeed.com. Shift hiring gears with Indeed. They go beyond the resume with 135 skill tests that help candidates show their abilities on things like computer proficiency or customer service. Indeed skill tests reduce hiring time by 27% on average. Visit Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Susie Cerone on 77 WABC.
All right, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, Christian, I know I said I was just going to go on into headlines, but I just want to tell folks what it's going to be like starting tomorrow, because I know a lot of folks want to understand what the plans should be. Tomorrow actually looks pretty decent. We're going to have partly cloudy skies in the morning, and those will give way to cloudier skies in the afternoon. We should see peaks of sun here and there, about 84 degrees. Saturday night, lots of clouds rolling in. Maybe a chance of a rain shower. And by Sunday, those showers are back. It'll probably just be cloudy in the morning on Sunday. And then the showers will happen sometime during the afternoon hours, dropping down to about 80 degrees. Monday, scattered thunderstorms. Tuesday, scattered thunderstorms. Yeah, it's going to be just a lot of rain. But Saturday looks pretty decent. So make your plans for Saturday.
Well, it might be wet weather, but it certainly could be a lot worse. And Kentucky Senator Rand Paul says he's going to fight part of the public transportation mask mandate. That rule is in effect until mid-September, requiring masks on planes, trains, and buses. But Rand Paul wants passengers to fly without wearing one, tweeting, "Let people travel in peace." He plans to introduce a repeal when the Senate returns to session. Other fellow Republicans are also calling for President Biden to end the mask mandate.
Well, you know, we usually start the top of the news portion of the show with hard-hitting stuff, right? But I really want to try and alter this whole "if it bleeds, it leads" news mentality, you know, meaning the ratings seem to go up when we have the death and destruction stories right at the top. But I feel like, why can't we just once in a while start with a positive story, or, you know, lead off the show with a positive story like this one? One day after winning the primary, did you hear about this, Frank? Democratic mayoral candidate Eric Adams followed through with a pretty painful campaign promise. He got his ear pierced. Apparently, he and his son were talking to some younger kids on the campaign trail, and they said, "Hey, you know, man, how are you going to be different from the rest of these politicians?" And they said, "We'll trust you if you promise to pierce your ear if you win the primary." And so, promises made must be promises kept, as Mr. Adams' son said.
I was trying to explain this story to my wife yesterday, and she asked me why. Why did he promise this, and why was this a big issue that his first act as the Democratic nominee for mayor, that this is what he needed to do? I mean, God
bless
him.
Well, it wasn't his first act. I mean, it was a promise that he made of a group of kids, and nobody really paid attention, but his son did, and so he got his ear pierced.
Well, whatever works. Good for him. Well, there's word this morning the Taliban has captured a major border crossing linking Afghanistan with Iran. Local media reporting that Afghan soldiers crossed the border into Iran to escape Taliban fighters. But the Afghan interior minister denies this, saying the border crossing is still under the control of government forces. The Taliban has overrun areas bordering five countries since U.S. troops pulled out of their main military base in the country.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, back here in our country, Stormy Daniels' disgraced attorney will be saying basta to his friends and family soon, because he is heading to prison. Michael Avenatti was sentenced yesterday in Manhattan, as you heard Deb talking about, to 2.5 years for trying to extort Nike for $25 million. And he tried to get himself the money by essentially threatening to use his, at that time, rising media stardom to hurt the brand's reputation and stock price if they didn't deliver. He strode into the courtroom Thursday wearing a dark suit, dark face mask. Witnesses say the 50-year-old was crying when he addressed the court.
are at 5:12. We'll do sports with Sid Rosenberg in just 3 minutes. But the number of guns seized at airport checkpoints this year is almost 3,000. That's closing in on last year's total, and there's still 5 months left to go. Over the 4th of July weekend, TSA officers found 70 guns, and 60 of them were loaded. They also stopped 13 firecrackers from getting on a plane in Virginia, as well as a hatchet in Idaho. Most passengers with the guns reported they simply forgot that they were in the bag.
Well, listen to this, people. There seems to be a little controversy going on about COVID-19 booster shots. If you are fully vaccinated against COVID-19, you don't need a booster shot to protect you against the Delta variant. This is according to the CDC and the FDA. The two agencies got together and issued an unusual dual statement, essentially, after Pfizer announced that it was developing a booster shot against the dangerous Delta strain. So apparently, this press release said that inoculated Americans were protected from severe disease and death, including from the variants currently circulating in the country, i.e. the Delta variant. But Pfizer and BioNTech said that they planned to ask federal regulators to authorize a booster dose within a month. That's the Pfizer company. This follows Israel's health ministry saying that the Pfizer vaccine's effectiveness in preventing infection and disease from this Delta variant has dropped to 64%. So basically, this is kind of like Pfizer saying, hey, you know, we don't want to take any chances. We want to develop this booster shot. And the FDA and CDC are saying, whoa, 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 hold on, calm down, everybody. I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Pfizer on this one. I feel like they're the ones that know what's going on with their shot.
Well,
but we shall see.
Yeah, that we will. I'll tell you who knows what's going on in sports. And that's Sid Rosenberg. A big sports weekend. We'll see what effect the rain has on all that.
Hi, Sydney.
Sid Rosenberg, what's happening?
Good morning, everybody. Sunday's a big game for Juliet.
Yep.
When Italy takes on England in the 2020 Euro final. And again, you're rooting for Italy, is that right?
Yes, yes, I am.
All righty. Let's go to the Yankees yesterday. They had a chance to sweep the Mariners in Seattle, and they needed that sweep. They did not get it. Jordan Montgomery was not at his best. He gave up 2 home runs. On the other side, Logan Gilbert for the Mariners, he was at his best. 7 scoreless innings, and the Seattle Mariners shut out the Yankees 4-0 yesterday. Here was Jordan Montgomery after the start.
There's a lot of room for improvement. I was happy with my fastball today, 93-95 those last 4 innings, and going to kind of try and build off of this.
Yankees fell to 44-42 after 86 games. They trail the division-leading Joseph Abud Boston Red Sox by 9 games inside the American League East, and they start a series in Houston today against the AL West-leading Houston Astros. The Mets rained out last night against the Pirates in Queens. They'll probably rain out again today. They are scheduled to play Pittsburgh later on tonight. The Mets will start today's action in first place, 4 games ahead of Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies. Game 2 last night, NBA Finals, the Phoenix Suns back at home trying to add to a 1-0 series lead over Milwaukee, and they get it. Chris Paul, another big game, 31 from Devin Booker, 27 from Michael Bridges, and they beat the Bucks 118-108. Phoenix now up 2-0 on the Bucks. Here was Chris Paul after the Phoenix win.
I say this all the time, it's nice when you kick it to the guy and you expect him to make it. You know, you expect him to make it. Like, I get mad at some of these guys when they miss it. They miss it. I'd be like, come on, man. You don't miss that in practice.
You don't miss it in practice. It doesn't matter. Game time. They all came up big last night for the Phoenix Suns. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
And at 5:17, there is a mess on the roads, mostly due to flooding and rain. Here to help you navigate your way to work this morning with traffic and transit on the 7s, here's Susie Cerrone.
Juliet, Frank, good Friday morning. Let's just make it through this morning. We've got alternate side in effect. The Hudson River crossings are okay, but a ton of things going on. We've got an accident blocking the west side northbound from the 150s up to the George. We've got the Jackknife Tractor Trailer, BQE North, Bennett, McGinnis, Humboldt Street. Just the left lane is getting by. Belt Parkway West, but across Bay Boulevard, that's a crash. Some scattered flooding here and there in the five boroughs. Then in New Jersey, crash on the Parkway South at 172. 287 North, and a shutdown 55 to 57 with a Jackknife Tractor Trailer. We've got the Hutch northbound closed from Post Road up to East Lincoln Avenue in Mount Vernon. Bronx River closed north and southbound from County Center to the Sprain. Good to go on the New York State Thruway. Connecticut's pretty quiet. The LIE eastbound shut down at Motor Parkway with an accident. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Susie Cerrone on 77 WABC.
Thank you, Susie. So we had a picture. It's now going viral. I mean, Maggie Haberman from the New York Times just retweeted it. Eric Adams dining last evening at Rao's with John Katsimatidis and Bo Dietl. And you were talking about that on the other side of midnight, Frank. Well, now this is going viral. Maggie Haberman says, who says there isn't a perfect tweet? It's a great picture, actually. So we're going to talk about that, I'm sure, at some point in the show. But also, we're going to talk about that video that I just posted on my Twitter, at JetSetJuliet, of a woman going through one of the subway stations. I think it was 157th Street. Literally, the station is completely flooded. She is up to her waist in disgusting water trying to get to her subway train. I don't understand this. We'll talk about that also. Great news if you're a Brit about changing some of the travel rules. It's not the best information if you're an American, unfortunately. Be right back.
This is the WABC Early News.
519, a great deal happening in the business world. We are keeping an eye on a number of stories. The stock market had an interesting day yesterday. The Dow Jones down significantly after what had been a record-setting stock market day the previous day. The trading week winding down a day after what saw Wall Street in a very, very selling mood amidst concerns about the economic recovery. Higher than expected initial jobless claims didn't help. Those came in at 373,000 last week. To wrap up the day, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell nearly 260 points. The S&P 500 dropped 37 points. And the NASDAQ lost 105 points. Companies including Travelers, Goldman Sachs, and American Express dragged the Dow into the red. It also wasn't a good day for railroad companies as Kansas City Southern fell almost 8% and Union Pacific fell nearly 4.4%. Among those outperforming the market were Boeing. It gained more than 2%. Nearly 3 million people have been out of work for at least a year. That's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which puts the number at 2.9 million. The figure is even higher than before, as it rose by nearly a quarter million in June. The persistent joblessness comes as millions lost their jobs last year due to the economic fallout of the coronavirus pandemic. Meantime, more keep joining the unemployment lines. First-time claims rose last week to 373,000, Juliet.
Thank you very much. By the way, we have a fascinating On This Day, July 9th, coming up at the bottom of the hour. So make sure you stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I just want to do a quick weather update from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. It's 74 degrees right now, raining in New York City. Today is going to be really ugly, at least for the next couple of hours, especially if you're out on Long Island and the Jersey Shore. We're going to have some seriously high winds, a lot of rain. It's going to be very, very ugly. Please stay home. Don't drive around if you can avoid it. We'll have rain this morning, scattered thunderstorms for the afternoon. There should be some times during the day when you will have just clouds. So we will get breaks. High of 86 today. Tomorrow, it actually looks okay. I mean, compared to what we've been dealing with, we'll have intervals of clouds and sunshine in the morning with more clouds coming in later on in the day. And as we head into the evening and nighttime, we'll get more clouds and start to see more rain just in time for more rain showers on Sunday. But Saturday, it looks pretty decent, 83 degrees, again, with a mix of clouds and sun. And currently, again, in New York City, 74 degrees.
Louisiana girl is celebrating her new title of the nation's top speller. Zyla Avant-Garde beat out 10...
Wait, Zyla Avant-Garde?
Yeah.
Avant-Garde?
Avant-Garde, yes.
That's hilarious.
Beat out 10 finalists last night when she correctly spelled the word Mariah. I don't know how to pronounce it. Mariah Murraya. She jumped in the air, and her father then hopped on stage to hug her. The 14-year-old is now the first black student to ever win the Scribd's National Spelling Bee. She gets a $50,000 cash prize, but she says the best part is the trophy.
Wow, good for her. That's incredible. Well, on a totally different track, oh, Billy, what a wonderful husband you are. That is the message we're getting about Camille Cosby, wife of comic Bill Cosby, when the two were first reunited after his release from prison recently. The Daily Mail posting exclusive photos of his first moments of freedom. The shots include him sitting on his comfy bed, still wearing his prison gear, and hanging on his sofa eating pizza. Cosby's sexual assault conviction was overturned, as you know, by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court last week over what amounted to a technicality. A Cosby spokesperson says the disgraced, and I guess not so disgraced, comedian, depending on who you talk to, asked if it was a dream when he was getting into the car that would take him home. He also described the scene between husband and wife as like watching teenage love. Roughly 60 women came forward with stories of harrowing assaults against them by Cosby. But I guess it doesn't matter.
Well, you know, conviction is vacated. Certainly pretty groundbreaking. The Seattle grunge scene is paying tribute tonight to one of its pioneers. Tina Bell was the singer for the 80s band Bam Bam and one of the few black women in the Seattle rock scene. She died in 2012, and her fans say she never got the recognition she deserved because of racism and sexism. Tonight's concert in downtown Seattle will feature members of Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, and Fishbone. Tickets are sold out.
Very cool. We've got an update on that bizarre killing down on the 10th hole of a Georgia golf course. Police have arrested a man that they say killed three people, including a pro golfer. Brian Anthony Roden is 23 years old. He was arrested on Thursday in the city of Chambly, which is about 25 miles south of where the men were slain on Saturday. Roden faces three counts of murder, three counts of aggravated assault, and two counts of kidnapping. Cops describe him as the lone shooter in these slayings, but they are not really saying anything more. We don't really have any details about why he shot these people. Golf pro Gene Siller was shot, and police arrived to find him and two other men shot dead as well. The two other guys were in the back of a truck that was being driven by the gunman. One of the dead men in back was Paul Pearson, 76 years old. He actually owned the truck. The other victim was 46-year-old Henry Valdez. Now, Pearson was from Kansas. Valdez was from California, and police are saying neither one of them had ties to the Pine Tree Country Club area. Or Atlanta, for that matter. The theory being thrown out that he may have, this Siller guy, this pro golfer, may have witnessed the other killings or perhaps confronted the killer. But again, it's very nebulous at the moment. But police do think that they have their guy.
New York City election officials have asked the Justice Department and the State Attorney General's office to look into suspected ballot harvesting in a Staten Island race. The New York Post reporting today, the Elections Board asked for the investigation into a Staten Island contest for the Republican nomination for the 50th District Council seat. Election officials say they want to learn whether the campaign of Marco Kepi ran an illegal ballot harvesting and forgery operation in last month's primary. Many absentee ballots are still in dispute, while Kepi trails the GOP frontrunner David Carr by fewer than 200 votes.
It is time now for Traffic on the Sevens with our pal, Susie Theron. Hey, Susie.
Frank, Juliet, what a mess out there this morning. Alternate sides in effect. The Hudson River crossings are okay. The west side north end is not. It's shut down from the 150s to the George with an accident. Jackknife tractor trailer on the BQE north end at McGinnis-Humboldt Street. Just the left lane is getting by. Crash cleared off the belt west end at Cross Bay Boulevard. New Jersey, 287 north end shut down 55 to 57 with a crash. Accident on the parkway southbound at 172 in the left lane. The Hutch only closed northbound Post Road up to East Lincoln Avenue. The Bronx River closed in both directions from the county center to the Sprain, all with the flooding. We've got the LIE eastbound closed at Motor Parkway with a crash. Traffic sponsored by Indeed.com. Shift hiring gears with Indeed. They go beyond the resume with 135 skill tests that help candidates show their abilities on things like computer proficiency or customer service. Indeed skill tests reduce hiring time by 27% on average. Visit Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Susie Cerone on 77 WABC.
Thank you, Susie. The UK is easing its border restrictions. Finally, this is going to go into effect next week. Will the United States be on that list? We will find out. Also, Hawaii is loosening its restrictions as well. So that's good news. Lots of great news coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update after this break. Oh, and don't forget about On This Day.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday, although it's not so happy as far as the weather goes. We'll get into that in a bit. Pretty lousy outside. Be very careful if you're driving around, especially at night, because when you get on those highways, you can't see the lines in the road, and it's just a free-for-all. Plus, you're not going to be able to see the pooling, the puddles, and a lot of the debris that's been thrown about. So just be very, very careful. We'll give you the update momentarily. But on this day, Frank, July 9th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was read to George Washington's troops in New York.
Ah, well, mm-hmm. That's something. But
very important day.
Not nearly as significant as what happened today in 1872, when John Blondell of Maine patented the donut cutter.
That's it?
Well, I mean, you know how many people have been
enjoying... You think that the donut cutter was more important? The donut cutter was more important than my story?
No, look, I mean, I think the donut has a pretty important place in American history.
It does, but so does the Declaration of Independence.
I know, but they would have had that anyway. And, you know, they voted on it on the 2nd. They signed it on the 3rd. I mean,
okay, well, how about this? You know, this was the time where life was really starting to get a little crazy for the French back in the late 1780s. In 1789, on this day, as the French Revolution was kicking into high gear, the National Assembly renamed itself the National Constituent Assembly.
All right, that's okay.
This is just a few years before Marie Antoinette was.
Today in 1922, Johnny Weissmuller became the first person to swim 100 meters in less than a minute.
Well, on this day in 1815, Talleyrand took office as the first prime minister of France.
Well, on this day in 1976, TV game show Let's Make a Deal last aired on ABC.
Oh, that was a sad day because that was a great show.
It was, yeah.
You know? Well, on this day in 1947, it was announced that Princess at that time, Elizabeth, and Philip Mountbatten were engaged.
And on this day in 1997, boxer Mike Tyson was banned from the ring and fined $3 million for biting opponent Evander Holyfield's ears.
I remember that. Well, in 1972 on this day, it was the first tour of Paul McCartney and Wings. They started in France.
And on this day in 1985, Joe Namath signed a 5-year deal with ABC Television to work on Monday Night Football.
I've got nothing else for you.
All right.
Well, that was wonderful. I look forward to Mondays on this day. And by the way, if you guys have any on this days that you think are important, you can send us a tweet. Me at Jet Set Juliet, Frank at Frank Morano.
That's right. MORANO. And it's worth following us even if you're not into what happened today in history, because there's
100%.
A lot of good content on there.
By the way, we have some changes going on down in D.C. And this time it's not with the politicians, but the place in which they work. The last of the fencing surrounding the U.S. Capitol building is coming down today. It was put up after the January 6th insurrection, and it stayed up after subsequent threats and concerns, as you guys know. So the work to remove the material starts, like I said, today, although there will probably be some delays thanks to the lovely weather that they're also experiencing down there in D.C. However, if you're hoping for one of those cool Capitol tours, you're still out of luck. Access is restricted for now.
All right, 5:34. We're going to have traffic and transit on the 7s in just 3 minutes. But first, there is still a lot of attention being paid to what's happening in Florida. Crews in Florida's condo collapse are vowing they won't stop working until they get to the bottom of the pile. They've removed about 9 million pounds of concrete so far. They also found another 10 victims yesterday as the search shifted from rescue to recovery, raising the death toll to 64. Some family members returned to the site and shared a moment of silence with first responders. Officials say 76 people remain missing.
Well, actually, speaking of, the bodies of the Paraguayan president's sister-in-law and two of her family members have been recovered from the rubble. Sofia Lopez Moreira, her husband Luis Pettengill, and the couple's youngest son were found, but two other children are still missing. This is according to a news service in Paraguay. Moreira's sister, Silvana Lopez Moreira, is Paraguay's first lady, and she's married to President Mario Abdo Benitez.
Well, some better news out of Florida. A Florida man says he was able to find two prehistoric megalodon shark teeth in just 3 weeks. Jacob Danner told WJXT-TV he was walking on Fernandina Beach when he found a 4-inch tooth Thursday. This comes after Tropical Storm Elsa swept through the state. Danner also said he had recently found a 3-inch megalodon tooth on the same beach.
Oh,
a Florida,
curious.
You're not buying it?
Yeah.
A Florida associate professor said that the teeth could be millions of years old. They also noted megalodon fossils are usually around 30 feet long.
Fernandina Beach. Have you ever been there, Frank?
No.
Well, I worked in Jacksonville, so I know JXT. My friends worked for WJXT. I believe it was the ABC station. But in Fernandina Beach, it's a tiny little area north of Jacksonville. There is this really, really cool historic pre-prohibition bar called the Palace Saloon, and it's just this iconic little place. So if you're ever down there, you've got to check this place out.
All right, I will.
The Palace Saloon.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Fernandina Beach.
I will. All right, 5:37, somebody that has known to be frequenting a saloon or two from time to time.
Spread those rumors.
Well, no, she wouldn't mind, believe me. Susie has a great sense of humor. Susie Cerrone has got traffic and transit on the 7th. Hello, Susie.
Hey, you two, good morning. Saw the video from the Deegan yesterday. Horrible. Luckily, nothing like that so far today. We'll keep you posted on that. Henry Hudson northbound shut down from the 150s to the George with a crash, alternate side in effect. Hudson River crossing's okay for now. Jackknife tractor trailer on the BQE northbound at McGinnis-Humboldt Street. Just the left lane is getting by. New Jersey 287 northbound is shut down 55 to 57 with an accident. The Hutch northbound is only shut down from Post Road and Pelham up to East Lincoln Avenue in Mount Vernon. But the Bronx River, that's closed in both directions from the county center to the Sprain Split. Okay on the New York State Thruway, no issues in Connecticut. LIE eastbound shut down at Motor Parkway with an accident. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Susie Cerrone on 77 WABC.
Thank you, Susie. A major worldwide hotel chain is axing daily housekeeping. How is that going to work? I'm going to tell you in your Jet Set Juliet travel update right after this break.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Microsoft is giving away $1,500 bonuses to a vast majority of its employees as a gesture of gratitude for working hard during the pandemic. The bonuses will cost Microsoft about $200 million in total. Microsoft executive Kathleen Hogan announced the bonuses will go out in July or August to employees in the U.S. and abroad. Employees of Microsoft subsidiaries GT Hub, LinkedIn, and ZeniMax will not be receiving the bonuses. Wells Fargo is no longer offering personal credit lines, and all existing lines will be shut down in the coming weeks. Instead, Wells Fargo will focus on credit cards and personal loans. Personal credit lines allowed some customers to borrow up to $100,000. In a letter to customers, the bank explained that the account closures may have an impact on your credit score. Wells Fargo said customers will be given a notice 60 days before their account is shut down. The trading week is winding down today after a day that saw Wall Street in a selling mood amidst concerns about the economic recovery. Higher than expected initial jobless claims didn't help either. Those came in at 373,000 last week. To wrap up the day, the Dow fell 260 points, the S&P dropped 37 points, and the NASDAQ lost 105 points, Juliet.
Thank you very much. Time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jet Set Juliet. So we have some breaking news. Great news if you're a Brit. The UK government announced Thursday that Brits who are fully vaccinated don't have to quarantine when they get back from vacation to countries on the Brit Amber List. This is going to take effect July 19th, so next week. This happens to coincide with Freedom Day, which is the official lifting of restrictions for folks living in the United Kingdom so they can take their masks off and all that business. Here's the caveat. This only applies to people who have been fully vaccinated in the UK. So in essence, if you're from an Amber List country, like the US, for instance, you're still not allowed in unless you quarantine for 10 days, unless you happen to have been vaccinated in the UK. Now, hopefully this will soon change, but for right now, there are only 27 countries on the UK's green list, which does not require quarantining once you get to the UK. On the amber list, the US and 146 other countries. Already, travel industry leaders like the head of British Airways are coming out swinging. CEO Sean Doyle says, hey, look, you know, this is a common sense approach. We get it. It's one that's working in other countries, but there's still a lot of work to do. We need to get to a deal, a reciprocal deal with the US. And I completely agree. I have a feeling that's going to be coming soon. More breaking news. Hawaii is relaxing some of its entry rules. So now, fully vaxxed travelers from the U.S. and U.S. territories do not have to quarantine or go through testing if they upload their COVID vaccination cards to the Hawaii Safe Travels website. Unvaccinated or partially vaccinated folks, you still have to quarantine for at least 10 days and be tested within 72 hours prior to arrival on the islands. If you're planning a trip to, say, Kauai, you have to be 15 days out from your last shot. This is really helpful because it's not easy to find a clinic that can get you your shot and your result within 72 hours. It's a bit of a pain and it's also confusing. So it's nice that if you're vaccinated, you don't have to deal with the shot. 58%, by the way, of the Hawaiian population has been fully vaccinated. Next, sports fans, this is for you. We're starting to see a new trend. Airlines providing limited time flights for away games. Sun Country and Allegiant are both already doing this, mainly for NFL football games. But if the industry starts seeing real success, it'll no doubt expand to other carriers. American, Delta, and United have all offered special flights for sports fans. Again, mainly for football, but it's sort of these rare occasions. So far, the Allegiant and the Sun Country plan, which is like just they have these scheduled flights, they seem to be working. It's extremely convenient for the sports fan, obviously. These limited, usually one-time flights are nonstop. They're curated specifically for one game, so there's no real planning that you need to do as far as worrying about connections and timing and stuff like that. For example, Allegiant is flying a limited time route from Appleton, Wisconsin to New Orleans for the Packers-Saints game. Other airlines like Delta, American, and United, you know, they don't have a special flight. So if you're a fan and you're flying out of Appleton, Wisconsin, you're going to have to book a connection. It'll take at least 5 hours from gate to gate to gate. But with Allegiant's one-time flight, it'll only be 2.5 hours. So airlines are digging the deal because they can make up extra revenue. And thanks to the pandemic, fans are booking these things like there's no tomorrow. I mean, people want to get out there. They want to start flying. But another key for the airlines and for fans are travel bundles. Allegiant will, for instance, offer the special flight, but they're also going to do a deal with, let's say, a local hotel and a rental car company, maybe even restaurants and bars. So one thing to remember, the flight attendants are going to be asking you, that are not going to be asking you to prove that you're going to a game. In other words, anyone can take these flights. So if you really are desperate to go to a game, book early and familiarize yourself with your local airlines and your local options. And I have a feeling this is going to happen a lot more. Finally, this is kind of an odd one. Hilton Hotels and Resorts announced recently that they are no longer going to be offering daily housekeeping at their hotels. There will still be maid service, but you have to call down to the front desk to get it. This is obviously a direct result of the pandemic when on-demand housekeeping was the rule to keep the whole contactless experience going. But Hilton is the first company, the first major company, to make the change permanent. They say they want to make our stays as undisturbed as possible. Now, obviously, I'm guessing this has a lot to do with saving money. Not every guest cares about having housekeeping every day. Not every guest wants housekeeping every day. And not every guest will remember to call for cleaning every day. So Hilton is banking on the fact that if you're really fastidious, you're going to be happy because all you have to do is call and you'll have your housekeeping. So while it's great for Hilton and fine for most of us travelers, not good for the cleaning crews. We're definitely going to be seeing a streamlining, meaning lots of layoffs and cuts. And that is your Jet Set Juliet travel update.
All right, Juliet, let me say hello at 5:45 to the man that knows sports better than anybody.
What? Is Mike Francesi here?
No, he's asleep.
He is.
5:45.
Does he even have a job anymore?
No, he doesn't.
I wouldn't shed any tears for him. I'm sure he's doing just fine. Sid Rosenberg's got sports.
Good morning. He is fine, living in his palatial estate in Manhasset. Good morning, Frank and Juliet, on this rainy Friday morning in New York City. It didn't rain in Seattle yesterday. It was actually very, very nice. But it did rain on the Yankees parade. They were looking for a sweep. They didn't get it. Logan Gilbert completely shut down the Yanks. The Mariners had two home runs off Jordan Montgomery. And Seattle beat the Yankees by a final score of 4-0. So the Yanks don't get the sweep, but they did get the series win. Here's DJ LeMahieu talking about, I guess, moral victories.
I thought we played really good this series. I feel like our bats were really good. And, you know, today... But like I said, got to go tomorrow and get W.
86 games. The Yankees are just two games over 500. They start today's action 9 games behind Joseph Abud's division-leading Boston Red Sox, and they start a series in Houston today against the AL West-leading Astros, who did lose to Oakland yesterday. The Mets rained out in Queens last night, looking to take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. They'll try to do it again today, although it's raining once again. The Mets do start today's action first place, alone atop the NL East. Right now, a 4-game lead over the second place, Joe Girardi, Philadelphia Phillies. NBA Finals, Game 2 last night. The Phoenix Suns looking to win their very first ever NBA championship. They're halfway home. They beat the Bucks last night 118-108. 31 from Devin Booker, 27 from Michael Bridges. Chris Paul throwing 21 as well. Great team effort. Here's Suns head coach Monty Williams on that.
We knew that was coming, but I like the fact that our guys just stayed the course and showed poise.
And coming up on Sunday, it'll be the Euro 2020 finals in soccer between Italy and England. And in the spirit of Bernie McGurk, who loves this stuff, I'm not a big fan, but he is, UFC 264 comes your way tomorrow night. Conor McGregor back in the ring taking on Dustin Poirier. Sports at 15 and 45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
5:47 with traffic. Here's Susie.
Frank, Juliet, what a morning out there. We've got alternate side in effect. The Hudson River crossings are okay. The west side is not. The west side northbound is shut down from the 150s to the George with an accident. Some flooding, but you can't get through on the northbound BQE by the Brooklyn Bridge. And the BQE northbound at McGinnis-Humboldt Street, that tractor trailer is gone. New Jersey, a crash in Wanacue, 287 northbound is shut down, 55 to 57 in Westchester. The Bronx River closed in both directions from the county center to the Sprain. The Hutch is only closed northbound from Post Road up to East Lincoln Avenue in Mount Vernon. Thruway okay, quiet in Connecticut. LIE eastbound closed at Moto Parkway with an accident. There's a crash on the LIE westbound at the Seaford Oyster Bay Expressway. We're sponsored by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report limitations apply. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Susie Cerrone on 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Susie. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, Tropical Storm Elsa will be impacting the area today. It already is. We have some watches and warnings. First of all, a tropical storm warning is in effect for northeast Suffolk, northern New London, northwest Suffolk, southeast Suffolk, southern Middlesex, southern Nassau, southern New Haven, southern New London, and southwest Suffolk. So basically, if you're in those areas, be very, very careful. The storm right now is about 100 miles south of New York City. It's going to be heading in our direction. We're already seeing some of the bands. It'll track northeast over the island, Long Island, and southeast New England this morning. The main threats will be heavy rain, which are capable of producing flash flooding. We'll also have tropical storm force winds along the south shore and east end of Long Island and across southeast Connecticut. So if you're planning on going surfing, just remember there are going to be some very rough seas and dangerous rip currents. I know surfers love this kind of weather, but it's going to be bad stuff. As far as what we're going to be seeing here in New York City, specifically throughout the day, today we're going to have a lot of rain, but then it'll stop in the afternoon and then we'll have a little bit more rain, maybe some thunder showers and so forth. And then it'll kind of taper off a bit. tomorrow is actually going to be pretty decent. We'll get to about 83 degrees. We'll have some clouds and sun in the morning hours, maybe early in the day, and then it'll get cloudier and cloudier as the day goes on. And by Sunday, we should see some showers back with the cooling off to about 79 degrees. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're looking at scattered thunderstorms as well. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 73 degrees.
A cherry in Italy is setting a Guinness World Record. That's because it weighed in at 1.16 ounces. Brothers Alberto and Giuseppe Rosso grew the cherry on their family farm, where cherries have grown for almost a century. Alberto told La Repubblica they noticed their cherries were near record size, so they finally decided to call out a panel of experts to check one out. The previous record-setting cherry was 0.93 ounces.
Wow. Where was this? Do you know what portion, what part of Italy?
I don't. I will research that for you.
Well, I went to visit my friends who live outside of Rome near Ostia Antica, which is an historic area, and they have a whole bunch of fruit trees on their property, including cherry. And I have to say, cherries were delicious and quite plump.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Europe, drama at Wimbledon Center Court, and it has nothing to do with the players on the court so much as a couple folks off the court. Former tennis champ Boris Becker is now commentating alongside John McEnroe, and the two just cannot seem to stay away from controversy. So earlier in the week, fans couldn't keep calm and carry on after McEnroe suggested a British teen player couldn't handle the pressure of the championship. She got really sick. Then it was Becker's turn. He apparently made the incredibly offensive comment, to whom this is offensive, I'm not sure, about the fiance of one of the players on the court, a Hungarian player. Becker simply said, well, they do say that they, the Hungarians, have the most beautiful women, and she's certainly very pretty. I don't know why this is offensive. Perhaps it offended German fans, his own people. Perhaps British hometown fans. I'm not sure, but he is certainly hearing an earful and seeing an eyeful on social media.
Mm.
I'm like, please say,
yeah,
I'm pretty. Go ahead, keep it coming.
I will. Believe me. I think you're very pretty.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you. I wasn't trying to set you up there.
Well, I mean, I got to be careful with what I say, but has the added virtue of being true. All right. A large snake is back in its enclosure at the Blue Zoo Aquarium inside the Mall of Louisiana in Baton Rouge. The 12-foot Burmese python named Kara had been missing for more than 2 days when crews found her inside a ceiling wall Thursday morning.
No.
They still don't know how she escaped her enclosure. Officials noted the snake will be checked by a vet before going out for everybody to see.
How lovely. First, it was the pandemic. Now it's the resurgence of the pandemic. The Tokyo Olympics is in turmoil yet again after the region's governor announced that fans are now going to be banned. The games, they open in less than 2 weeks. Back on Monday, a state of emergency was declared in the Japanese capital because of this jump in COVID cases. Officials say, hey, you know, come on, people, just watch at home. No big deal. Okay, well, a lot of Japanese fans have paid good money to travel and have taken time off to attend the games. Foreign fans were banned back in the winter months. The state of emergency will last through August 22nd. Interestingly, the games start July 23rd and they run through August 8th. So basically, the entire Olympics will be without fans under emergency. The announcements have a lot of folks saying just cancel the thing or delay it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, we've been telling you a little bit about what's happening in the situation in Afghanistan, and now the Defense Department is looking for places it can send thousands of Afghans who worked as translators for U.S. forces. Those translators, along with their families, face reprisals from the Taliban now that the U.S. is pulling out. Where will they go? That's still up in the air.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of nice places here in the United States.
Well, some lawmakers have been pushing to relocate them to Guam. And President Biden has said they will be sent to American facilities outside the continental U.S. or in other countries. The U.S. is reportedly talking with Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan to take the refugees for now.
But these are people that helped us and put their lives at risk and their families' lives at risk?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if they would like to move in next door to me, that's fine. I have no problem with this. This is actually a concerning story. A Pentagon document is warning that the world is moving closer to nuclear war because Russia and China are developing new nuclear missiles, bombers, and submarines. This Pentagon report says there is an increased potential for regional nuclear conflict with the country's main enemies, Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. Russia and China have the most advanced of the four countries' nuclear weapons programs, according to this 2020 report, which was released on the 6th of July.
A new survey out this week shows that NBA star LeBron James takes more than his fair share of abuse on social media. Data released by the sports handicapping website Pickwise shows that LeBron received more than 122,000 negative messages on Twitter in the last 12 months. That was nearly four times as many abusive messages as received by the athlete that finished second in the survey, soccer star Marcus Rashford.
Never even heard of him.
Well, no wonder he's second.
I want to give you guys another update from Haiti this time. Authorities say that they have captured several suspects and they have taken several others have been killed. This is all over the assassination of the country's president. Meantime, there are gruesome details being released now about this shocking killing of Haiti's leader, Jovenel Moïse. Apparently, he was shot 12 times. His eye was gouged out at his home outside the capital city of Port-au-Prince. First Lady Martine was also shot multiple times in the legs, arm, torso, and hand. She is continuing to be treated at a Miami area hospital and is reportedly out of danger health-wise. She's in stable condition. At least that was the last report. We're also hearing more about what was going on inside the home as these attackers came in. The couple's daughter, Jo Marley, was reportedly able to escape by hiding in a bedroom as the killers ransacked the president's office and other rooms around the house. A maid and another worker were tied up. They were okay, though. Officials say the attackers shouted DEA operation, pretending that they were DEA officers from the U.S. as they fired off high-powered machine guns. And then we're finding out that some of these people who have been arrested are American citizens. So we'll keep an eye on that story.
Well, someone that often impersonates a DEA official is Susie Cerrone, who does still have the traffic and transit on the sevens.
Pretty treacherous on the roads right now. We've got alternate side in effect. The Hudson River crossings are okay. Crash on the northbound BQE by the Kosciuszko Bridge. That has one lane out. There's still some flooding on the northbound BQE by the Brooklyn Bridge, but you can get through. You can't get through on the west side north, and it's shut down with a crash. Shut down from the 150s to the George. And in New Jersey, crash just in on the Parkway south at Vauxhall Road. 287 north and a shutdown 55 to 57. In Westchester, the Bronx River closed in both directions from the county center to the Sprain. The Hutch northbound is only shut down from Post Road and Pelham to East Lincoln Avenue. One lane's getting by on the southbound side. No issues on the New York State Thruway. Connecticut quiet. Accidents on Long Island. The LIE eastbound shut down Motor Parkway to Wheeler Road. And a crash on the LIE westbound at the Seaford Oyster Bay Expressway. The HOV and left lane are out. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Susie Cerrone on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Susie. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, let's give you another quick update. Today, we have a tropical storm, Elsa, making its way through our area. Suffolk County, be very careful, especially if you're on the South Shore. It's going to be very rough. Rain this morning in New York City, scattered thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. We're going to get to a high of 86 degrees tonight, Friday night. Partly to mostly cloudy skies. We will have some scattered thunderstorms during the evening hours. And then it'll clear until, you know, we'll just basically have some cloudy skies. Tomorrow, we're looking at a decent day. We'll have clouds and sunshine in the morning with more clouds later on in the afternoon. As we make our way into Saturday evening, the clouds begin to get thicker. Slight chance of a rain shower. By Sunday, we'll have clouds in the morning and then off and on rain showers throughout the afternoon. Sunday evening, scattered thunderstorms, and those lead into Monday, where we will have scattered thunderstorms throughout the day and evening. Leading into Tuesday, same exact thing. So it's just going to be the low 80s with lots of rain, unfortunately.
All right. We have a whole lot more news coming your way. Make no mistake, though, all this rain has caused a flood advisory. Please be careful. Don't drive your vehicle or walk into areas where water covers the roadway. It's rough out there. All right. Deb Valentine has 77 seconds of news coming your way right now.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. thank God it's Friday, and it is the early news. I'm Frank Moreno.
I'm Juliette Huddy. What a lousy day we're dealing with, unfortunately. I think it's going to be okay for you to get down later on today to Atlantic City, Frank. I think it's going to hopefully pass by then.
All right. Well, I certainly hope so. What about the ride to Staten Island this morning might be?
Well, it's going to be wet, depending on what time you go. In New York City right now, we're dealing with a lot of tropical weather. Also out on the island, pretty much everywhere you are. Some places will be worse than others. Long Island is one of those places, especially Suffolk County. You're going to be dealing with the possibility of flash flooding. You're going to be dealing with very high winds, and you're going to be dealing, everybody's going to be dealing with lots of rain. For New York City, we'll have rain this morning with scattered thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. We will have some breaks, though. I mean, I was reading sort of the hour-by-hour thing. We'll have a couple breaks in New York City throughout the day, so it's, you know, it's not going to be as bad as it has been. Tonight, things will start to clear up so that we'll have a fairly decent day tomorrow most of the day, get to about 83 degrees. We'll have some clouds and sun kind of making their way in and out of throughout the day. By Saturday night, the clouds start to make their way back in, and we'll see some rain later on in the afternoon on Sunday, unfortunately. We're going to be getting down into the 70s by Sunday, but back up into the 80s with scattered thunderstorms by Monday, by the beginning of the work week, unfortunately. Currently, the temperature is 73 degrees here from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center.
Well, Madonna is calling Britney Spears' conservatorship a violation of human rights. The pop legend weighed in on the controversy yesterday with an Instagram post that showed her wearing a Britney Spears shirt and exclaiming, "Give this woman her life back." Madonna compared the conservatorship to slavery and wrote, quote, "Death to the greedy patriarchy that has been doing this to women for centuries," close quote. She then called it a violation of human rights, and the reaction has been viral.
They are charged with keeping the president alive, and apparently a pretty penny for doing so, they're charged. The Washington Post reporting an investigation shows the former president, Donald Trump, continues to charge his Secret Service detail a lot more than just $50 a day, as his son Eric once claimed. In fact, they were forced to pay more than $10,200 for guest rooms at his Bedminster resort during the month of May. The nightly rate amounts to roughly $570 per room, per night. The Post analyzed more than 3,600 nights the Secret Service has bunked at a Trump property, and they have never found rates close to $50 for a room.
Well, the woman who murdered Selena, the singer Selena, could be set free within 4 years. The Texas Department of Criminal Justice says Yolanda Saldivar will be eligible for parole on March 30th, 2025, almost 30 years to the day after she shot the Queen of Tejano. Saldivar was the founder of the Selena fan club and ended up being an employee of the singer. But Selena's father, Abraham Quintanilla, fired Saldivar after he found out she was embezzling. Saldivar killed Selena in 1995 at a motel in Corpus Christi and was sentenced to life.
1995. Wow. I remember when that happened. Yeesh. Time flies. If you are fully vaccinated against COVID, you don't need a booster shot to protect against the Delta variant. This is according to the CDC and the FDA. Both agencies got together and issued a unique dual agency statement after Pfizer announced that it was developing a booster shot against the dangerous Delta strain. So this press release says inoculated Americans are protected from severe disease and death, including from the Delta variant. This is kind of unusual because it's unusual that they would just jump out and say this, but I think both agencies are just trying to calm people down, because we're also hearing from Italy's health ministry that Pfizer's vaccine effectiveness there in preventing both infection and disease against this Delta variant has dropped to 64%. So this is a concern. I'm going to be following this for you, and I'll keep you updated.
6:07, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Susie Cerrone.
Well, a crash has the West Side Highway northbound shut down from the 150s to the George, and apparently there was some kind of road damage from all the rain, so even after the accident is gone, you may want to avoid the West Side. Northbound BQE by the Brooklyn Bridge, some flooding and a crash on the BQE northbound by the Kosciuszko Bridge. Alternate side in effect, 5 minutes at the Hudson River Crossings. Accident on the Parkway southbound at Vauxhall Road, blocking lane 80 west when it exits 60 in Patterson. An accident looks like just one lane gets by. 287 northbound is still shut down 55 to 57 with an accident. Bronx River closed both directions from the county center to the Sprain with flooding. The Hutch northbound is shut down Post Road to East Lincoln Avenue. And on Long Island, an accident has the LIE eastbound shut down by Motor Parkway. There's one westbound by the Seaford Oyster Bay. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Susie Cerrone on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Susie. I don't know if you guys saw this, Frank, this Karen, another Karen to tell you about right here in New York City once again. This woman, this video is going viral. This woman is not only a possible racist, she is a real sicko. This video shows the unidentified older white woman going at it with an Asian man, like really getting into a verbal tussle. Now, the Asian man happens to be walking his dog without a leash. That's a no-no in New York City. But, I mean, I think we've all seen this before. Some dogs have been very well trained and they can handle it. I don't like that idea, but okay, whatever. But this woman wasn't having it. And rather than just say, hey, you know, you really should put your dog on a leash. You know, you just don't know. Something could happen. A firework could go. Who knows? Rather than that, she berates the dog owner, reportedly telling him to go back to where you came from. But that was before this guy started filming. So, you know, who knows? But then shockingly and disturbingly, this woman, as she's ranting to this dog owner, she backs into the street, a busy street, and she starts calling the dog. Whoop, come here, come here. Like she's trying to lure the thing into traffic. The dog did not run, thank God. Then you hear someone else, perhaps a passerby, reaming the older woman out for trying to get the dog to go onto the highway. Just complete craziness. So it's a very clear shot of this woman, and I will be posting it on my at Jet Set Juliet Twitter account. So
all right,
you can all see this.
Speaking of Twitter, a tweet that has gone viral within the last 8 hours is from reporter David Friedlander. He is a reporter for New York Magazine, and he tweeted a photograph about 8 hours ago that depicts Eric Adams at dinner at Rao's. Okay, that's interesting. But he's joined by Bo Deedle, former independent candidate for mayor in 2017, generally considered a conservative, a regular contributor to the Bernie and Sid show, and publicist Todd Shapiro, who is the publicist for Curtis Sliwa's mayoral campaign, and our radio station owner, John Catsimatidis. And this has got to be the photo of the day.
Yes, definitely. It's just going crazy on, and it's a very nice photo. They all look really, really good.
Yes, and many of the comments are quite entertaining on
Twitter. Oh, I'm sure they are. Just like the one that we just got, or I just got on our little tweet.
Yeah, you can't let these tweets get to
you. I don't let them get to me. I just think that people are morons.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Well, there was a Twitter user, for people that don't know what Juliet's talking about, who called her too liberal, but he also managed to misspell the word with the word too.
Which you, of course, corrected.
Yes.
But I said, well, I'm sure it doesn't bother you when I'm ripping and criticizing Cuomo and de Blasio and AOC. I'm sure that's okay. You're okay with me doing that. But God forbid I criticize anybody on the right. Here's a question. What is going on lately? Two road rage attacks to tell you about, both involving kids. The first incident happened when Minnesota baseball coach Jay Bouton was driving with his son when Bouton got into some kind of argument with another driver who shot him in the head. Bouton's son tried to give him CPR until the ambulance arrived, but he didn't make it. So awful. Cops are looking for a light-colored SUV, possibly a Tahoe or a Suburban or something like that. Meantime, down in Texas, a 15-year-old teenager was on his way home from the Houston Astros game with his dad when the dad and another driver got into an argument. The other guy pulled out a gun and shot into the father's vehicle, hitting the 15-year-old boy. He was rushed to the hospital where he was put on life support.
Mm.
Awful.
Absolutely. All right. Well, New York City's unemployment rate is something that a lot of people are taking note of, and job losses due to the pandemic are not yet wiped out, but nationally, unemployment is well below rates last year at this time. And in the latest update, New York City is reporting that its jobless rate in May dropped to 7.5%, compared with 15.2% last year at this time. Statewide, the unemployment rate fell to 6.9%.
So I know we love these stories. And if you're listening to us right now, you probably do, too, because it's still dark out and you probably are dealing with lack of sleep often. Just three consecutive nights of poor sleep can cause a great deterioration in mental and physical health, including anger, loneliness, even breathing problems. This is according to a study by researchers down in Florida. They looked at sleep diaries by nearly 2,000 adults. Over eight nights, 42% of the sample had at least one night of sleep loss. Symptoms of sleep loss included anger, aches and pains, and even breathing difficulties. I get it. I completely get it. When you have one night, it's bad. But when you have two and three nights, it just messes you up, I mean, completely.
How is your sleep schedule these days with these hours, Juliet?
Well, when I'm working from home, it's a lot better because I still consistently go into bed at like 6:30 and I read for an hour or two and then I fall asleep. But you know, I don't have to wake up as early as when I have to go into the city. So it's a lot better. How's yours?
It's a struggle, honestly.
Yeah.
But I'm working at it. All right. 6:15. Somebody that knows what it's like to struggle with sleep difficulties is the one and only Sid Rosenberg.
I never sleep.
Really?
Never. I mean, maybe 4 hours a night.
That's how he lost his hair.
That's right. That's exactly how.
There are people like you that are okay with it. My husband
Bill Clinton is like that.
Donald Trump says he doesn't sleep more than 4 hours.
Trump too, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I need the sleep, but I just don't have the time to get it. Listen, we'll start with the Yankees this morning on this rainy Friday morning in New York. It wasn't raining in Seattle yesterday. In fact, the weather was very, very nice, but the Yankees couldn't find a way to get it done. They don't get the sweep. Jordan Montgomery gave up two home runs, and Seattle, behind Logan Gilbert, shut out the Yankees 4-0 yesterday. Yanks are now 44-42 after 86 games. They are 9 back of the division-leading Boston Red Sox, and they start a series in Houston against the AL West-leading Astros later on today. The Mets were rained out in Queens against the Pirates last night. May suffer the same fate today. The Mets do start today's action atop the NL East in sole possession of first place, 4 games better than Joe Girardi's second-place Philadelphia Phillies. NBA Finals, Game 2 last night, the Phoenix Suns looking to win their very first ever NBA championship. They're halfway home, beat the Bucks last night, 118-108. Got a nice effort from a bunch of guys. Devin Booker put in 31, Michael Bridges put in 27, Chris Paul 21. Really good team effort for the Suns, who now lead this series 2-0. In fact, here was Chris Paul after the win.
I say this all the time, it's nice when you kick it to the guy and you expect him to make it. You know, you expect them to make it. Like, I get mad at some of these guys when they miss it. They miss it. I'd be like, come on, man. You don't miss that in practice.
Yeah, they all make shots at Phoenix Suns team. Again, halfway home, up 2-0 on Milwaukee. Tomorrow night, UFC 264 features Conor McGregor back in the ring. He'll take on Dustin Poirier. And then, of course, a big one coming up on Sunday, the Euro 2020 final. And that features Juliet's two favorite countries going head-to-head. Italy versus England. Oh, my.
Yes.
But you're all about Italy in this one.
Well, yes? I have to be. I mean, it's just seeing the passion from my Italian friends recently.
The passion. You got to see these hooligans in England. They go
well,
nuts.
Well, no, I know my hooligan friends in England, same thing. But yeah. I feel more, right now, because I just got back from Italy, I feel more of a connection to my Italian
friends. Listen, my daughter is going to move to London, and her boyfriend Toby is English. But because I'm dying to be Italian my whole life, and my hero is John Travolta, let's go Italy.
Let's go Italy. That's right. Yes, Sid.
Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers with sports. I'm Sid.
Somebody I know who is rooting for Italy this weekend is Susie Cerrone at 6:17.
Woo!
Hey guys, the latest on the west side northbound, an accident cleared by the George, but it's still closed. Apparently the road was compromised with all this rain. Alternate side in effect, 5 minutes at the Hudson River crossings. BQE north at the Kosciuszko Bridge, an accident, just the left lane gets by. Gowanus south and at 38th Street, that's an accident. 80 west and at exit 60 in Patterson, a bad accident, just one lane getting by. Parkway south and at Vauxhall Road, that's an accident. No one's getting by still on the Bronx River north and southbound County Center to the Sprain. The Hutch northbound is shut down from Post Road up to East Lincoln. And on Long Island, an accident has the LIE eastbound still shut down by Motor Parkway. Traffic sponsored by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Anthem Blue Cross and Heart of America, helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more, empireblue.com/NYLiberty. Empire Blue Cross and Blue Shield is the trade name of Empire Health Choice HMO Inc. and Empire Health Choice Assurance Inc. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Susie Cerrone on 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Susie, and thank you for cheering for Italy. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it is lousy today, and it's going to be a lousy long weekend with maybe a reprieve on Saturday in the morning and early afternoon hours. Unfortunately, we're going to see just rain continuing constantly. We do have this tropical storm Elsa, which is going to be battering us down, especially out on Long Island in the Suffolk County area, especially in that area on the South Shore. So just be very careful. This is going to be bringing us a lot of water, a lot of rain. And look, we also might be dealing with water spouts because these severe thunderstorms are capable of producing those, along with the flash flooding and so forth. So be very, very careful. Again, stay off the roads if you possibly can. Today, it is going to be rainy, like I said. This morning, scattered thunderstorms for the afternoon, maybe a break here and there in New York City. Tomorrow is our decent day, although it's not that decent because we will have some chances of rain. Sunday, more rain. Monday, more rain. Tuesday, more rain. Just rain, 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 rain. So hate to break it to you. 74 right now in Huntington.
Well, 620, a lot happening business-wise. A rough day for the stock market yesterday. The Dow down 260 points, the S&P 500 down 37 points, and the NASDAQ down 105 points. The billionaire owner of Virgin Galactic, Sir Richard Branson, will be on board a spacecraft when it launches this Sunday. Two pilots and three other mission specialists will make up the crew. Branson's voyage aboard Virgin One's Galactic spaceship will come just 9 days before fellow billionaire Jeff Bezos, the former CEO of Amazon, takes off for his own trip to the edge of space in one of his Blue Origin rockets. Sunday's launch will take place from what's known as Spaceport America in the New Mexico desert in the small town of Truth or Consequences. Officials nearby expect to see an economic boost of almost $400,000 as a result of the launch. And Los Angeles Clippers owner and former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer has reached another major milestone. According to Bloomberg, Ballmer has reached $100 billion in net worth. He is the ninth person to do so. The 65-year-old Ballmer has seen his net worth grow by $20.1 billion since the start of this year. Julia.
Thank you very much. And now we have Sid back to tell us what's happening on his Friday show today. Hello, Sydney.
Hello, Juliet. Good morning. Another big show. This is the last day, of course, that Bernie's out. Bernie will be back on Monday, and we miss Bernie. And show's always better when Bernie is here, but I think we've done an amazing job this week of providing really good guests and different topics and folks, quite frankly, that would never come on when Bernie is here.
And I really enjoyed the back and forth with you and Michael Rappaport yesterday.
It's great.
And first of all, it looked visually stunning. The was a video simulcast on the website. Looked as good as any television show that I've seen a radio show be simulcast on. And the content of what you guys talked about was pretty entertaining.
Well, thank you. It was on WABCRadio.com. We do have clips all over Instagram. And it was great. He talked about everything from politics to the Real Housewives to the NBA to his dust up with Kevin Durant. It was a lot of stuff you wouldn't ordinarily hear, especially on this station, and I thought it made for great radio. Yes, Juliet.
Did you ask Ron and Zanna?
I did.
You did?
I did.
I didn't hear it.
Now, that was 2 days ago, of course. But
it was?
Yes, it was. 2 days ago.
I thought
ago.
It was yesterday.
No, 2 days ago.
It may have been 3 days ago, actually.
No.
Actually, it was 3 days ago.
It was. It was Tuesday morning, my first day back. Yes, yes.
Are you serious?
At the very end of the conversation, and He was not there.
It wasn't him?
No.
Oh, my God.
He saw
who
the Eagles in concert last year. That's like the last concert he's seen in a long time.
That's so strange.
Yeah, it's fine. So getting back to
Thanks for asking.
Listen, I promised I would do it. I did it. So getting back to Rappaport for a second. So 90% of the folks loved it, right, because they're rational, they're adults. Even if they disagree with him politically, they know what's entertaining. But about 10% of these morons out there, they're like, well, I'm not listening again, and look what happens when Bernie's not here. So, you know, so, of course, I book all the guests anyway, whether Bernie's here or not. So you know what I did today to really piss him off? I booked Anthony Scaramucci.
Oh yeah.
Because I want to hear what happened. How does a guy that loved Trump, wrote a book about Trump, worked for Donald Trump, swore up and down that Trump was the best ever, all of a sudden go completely sideways? I want to hear what happened. I think it's interesting.
Why? I don't understand why people can't hear other people's opinions. I don't understand that.
Ridiculous.
It makes no sense to me.
Well,
That's not American.
It's the great talk show hosts over the years, I am Miss Stern, they talk to everybody. If you're a great talk show host, you don't pick and choose.
Right.
I'm going to talk to him because he agrees with me politically. I'm going to talk to him because he likes the Mets. The great talk show hosts talk to everybody.
I find the most boring radio shows in the world, two hosts or a host and a guest falling over themselves to agree with
right. one another. Right. Who cares?
And that's what, you know, the Cats at Night show, that's the one thing that I really like about it, is they have all these odd combinations of people. You don't know who you're going to hear next.
That's
they
right.
mix it up.
And by the way, that's why John Catsimatidis and Margot love when I do these shows
yeah.
and I bring on these guests. They're the first ones to say that's a great job because they are adults. He does a show just like that, and they want to hear some opposing views. Anyway, he will be on today, Anthony Scaramucci, with a host of other great guests. Alan Dershowitz, he made news, a great attorney 2 days ago, talking about Trump's lawsuit. Lauren Conlon will be here. Constantine Maroulis, very talented young guy. He'll be here today talking entertainment. And as we get ready to commemorate 20 years since the most tragic day in our country's history, Frank Siller. Tunnel to Towers, he'll be here as well. So, and Frank, you're going to be on too. So
I'm going to stick around and talk about this voter fraud potential scandal on Staten Island. So.
I mean, that borough is just, it's just,
we're
just
out of
filled
control.
With.
We're out of control.
God, what's going on out
we're,
there?
We're out of control. It's like the Wild West.
Do you think the Verrazano Bridge separates you from real life? All that's coming up at 6:30, folks. Have yourselves a great weekend. Frank and Juliet, I love you both.
Love you too. Enjoy your final Bernie-free morning. All right. Juliet, anything else you want to bring to the listeners' attention as they prepare a flood-filled Friday?
Well, just be careful out there. I mean, I think, you know, we are talking to adults, and you guys know that it's treacherous out there, and especially when it's, you know, you've got the clouds, and it's dark, and it's hard to see. It just makes things even more dangerous, and this is how tragedies happen. So just stay home if you can.
Yeah, that is good advice. And
I give good advice.
You do?
Really. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't eat yellow snow.
Don't. All right. Well, actor Steven Seagal.
I've got a lot of advice if you'd like me to give it to you.
What else do you have? Sure.
No, it's okay.
All right. Sorry. Well, actor Steven Seagal has sold his unique home in Arizona. The nearly 9,000 square foot home is on a 12-acre spread in North Scottsdale and overlooks metropolitan Phoenix with floor-to-ceiling bulletproof windows. The realtors say Seagal has moved out of the house and sold it for about $3.5 million.
That's it. It's a lot of property and a lot of footage for just $3.5 million.
I thought it was a pretty good deal as well.
Did you see pictures of it? It's probably really cheesy.
I did not see pictures of it. No.
I get it. I'm going to be looking right now. I'll post it on my my Twitter, at Jets at Juliet. Well, Frank, I'll be speaking with you in half an hour at our meeting.
I will look forward to that.
And have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Be very, very careful. And I'm sorry it's going to be raining, but it's going to be raining.
Live updates on my Twitter from Atlantic City, at Frank Morano.
All
Frank,
right.
M-O-R-A-N-O. Have a great weekend. Hit 627. Here's traffic with Susie Cerrone.